If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to open them to Isaiah chapter 9. And we'll not spend long. We've heard a great message already this evening. But I want to point out just one quick thing about the program that we just watched. You always know you're getting into the Christmas season when you see Christmas lights going up. White lights and colored lights. And now they have those really cool LED lights that flash all kinds of different colors and different designs. Really, nothing says Christmas more than light. Why is that? Why for so many years has Christmas been synonymous with light? Well, it actually goes back even further than the star that shone in Bethlehem that we heard about today. It goes back to a prophecy that was given 750 years before Christ would come, given by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. It says, "The people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light shined." Isn't that a beautiful verse? Well, this verse has some incredibly bad news for us all today, because it says that people dwell in darkness. They dwell in the land of the shadow of death, the Bible says. By nature, we live in darkness. That's bad news. Now, darkness is a motif that's used all throughout the Bible. It really speaks to us of three things. Number one, darkness is always a picture of evil. It says in John chapter 3 that men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And we know that so many of the perverse and evil acts of this world, even today, are done under the cover of darkness. Darkness is a picture of evil. Not only is darkness a picture of evil in the Bible, but it's also a picture of ignorance. It's a picture of asking life's questions, but not being able to find the answers. To be in the dark, we might say. But it's also a picture of judgment. All throughout the Bible, wherever darkness is, the judgment of God is. In fact, the Bible says that to die without Christ is to go to hell, a place of everlasting darkness. And ladies and gentlemen, the bad news is that you and I are the people that walk in darkness. By nature, we are children of darkness. We cannot control our evil deeds. We do not have the answers to life's most profound questions. And to die without Christ is to spend eternity in darkness. So this verse gives us some incredibly bad news about ourselves tonight. But it also gives us some incredibly good news. Because the Bible says, "To them that walked in darkness, they that walked in darkness saw a great light." It says, "They that were in the shadow of death," verse 2, "upon them hath the light shined." Oh, don't miss this. It does not say that within them the light shined. It says that upon them the light shined. So the answer to our darkness was not available within us. We could find no light within us. We could find no light in our world. There was something from outside of our world that had to come and show us the light. You might want to mark down in the margin of your Bible a cross reference where it says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. He was the light that shined upon they that were in darkness. He was the one that came upon those that dwelt in the valley of the shadow of death. He's the light. Well, don't miss this. To a world of evildoers, Jesus came doing good. He loved the poor. He cared for the sick. He healed those that were infirmed. He served even the lowliest among us. Never has a life been lived like the life of the Lord Jesus. To those who were in ignorance, Jesus came with answers. He came with words of authority. The Bible says that those that heard him said, "Never a man spake like this man spake." He came to tell those who were spiritually thirsty, "I'm the water of life. And if you'll come to me, you'll never thirst again." He came to tell those that were spiritually starving, I'm the bread come down from heaven. And yes, he came to tell those who were in darkness, I am the light of the world. Almost every religious leader comes with answers. Jesus said, I am the answer. I am the living water. I am the bread of heaven. I am the light of the world. You say, Pastor Gillett, what did Jesus do about the darkness of death? Listen, because he loved you, he chose to place himself in the shadow of death. All his life was about his death. And on the cross, when he was there, hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth, the Bible says that darkness covered the entire land. Can you see it in your mind's eye? It was heaven's commentary that judgment was falling. The judgment that you and I deserve was falling on the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of the world was descending into darkness so that those who sat in darkness might see a great light. He took our evil deeds. He took our attempts to save ourselves. He took our debt and he paid for it in full on the cross of Calvary. Now for 2 days, it looked like darkness had overcome the light. But on the third day, the sun rose. The light came back to life. And Jesus is alive. Listen to me tonight. Because he's a living Savior, he has the power to hear your prayers. Because he's a living Savior, he has the power to forgive your sins. Because he's a living Savior, he has the power to transfer you from a position of darkness to a position of light. Christian, do you remember when you were in darkness and you saw the light? I remember it. My family and I hadn't been going to church. My father was not a Christian. There was a lot of darkness in our life. Somebody came along with the light and invited my dad to come to church. I'll never forget the first Sunday we walked into that Baptist church. There was an older preacher standing behind the pulpit. He told us much the same message that I've told you tonight, that you're a sinner, and that you deserve death in hell, but that God loved you and sent Jesus to die for you. And if you would simply turn from your sins and by faith receive his son, he'd forgive your sins and give you eternal life in heaven. After a few weeks of hearing messages like that, my dad walked down the aisle of our church and he got saved. And my mom rededicated her life to Christ. And they that sat in darkness saw great light. I'll never forget after seeing the change that had happened in my home and in the life of my mom and in the life of my dad, I wanted to see the light that they saw. So as a 6-year-old child, younger than the children who perform today, I walked down that same aisle. And the very next day, the preacher took me into his office and showed me how I could see the light. And I prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Listen to me tonight. It really is that simple. All you have to do this evening is admit that you're a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and put your faith in Jesus who was born for you, who lived for you, who died for you, and who rose for you. And if you'll put your faith and trust in him today, you who sit in darkness can see great light. Can I give an application for our Christians tonight? Here it is. There are millions of children, just as cute, just as smart, just as handsome, just as pretty as the children you saw today, who don't have access to the light. No one's ever told them that Jesus was born for them. No one's ever told them that Jesus died for them. They live in great darkness, and they will live their entire lives in darkness, and they will live in darkness for all of eternity if someone does not take them the light. The light isn't just for Americans. The light isn't just for people in Fort Worth, Texas. It's not just for our family. It's not just for our nation. The light is for the world. And unless you and I are willing to turn our lights on, they will die in darkness and spend eternity in darkness. What did Jesus say? I am the light of the world. So I want to challenge you, Christian, turn your light on. Let it shine. That's why Jesus came. Let's pray together, may we? Father in heaven, thank you for everything that we've experienced here this evening. Thank you for the message that our children have sung to us and have preached to us. And I pray that it's found soft spots in our hearts, that it's ready to bring forth fruit. If there's someone here who's not absolutely certain they've seen the light of salvation, I pray tonight they'd see it, that they turn from their sins and by faith receive your Son. For the rest of us, help us to see tonight a world that lies in darkness and how they need to hear and how they need to see what we've heard and seen tonight. In Jesus' name, would you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? If you're here tonight, perhaps you don't normally attend church. Perhaps this isn't your church home. I want you to know that it's people like you that we have these services for. We care about you. We love you. And we're glad you're here tonight. Maybe you're like my family. You never heard some of the things that you've heard tonight. But if it's true, you're a sinner. And if it's true, the wages of sin is death. You sure would like to see the light. You sure would like to know this Jesus that we've been talking about. Perhaps that's you tonight. You say, Pastor Gillett, I've got to be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die today, that I would go to heaven. Pastor, would you please pray for me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd say, I'm not saved or I'm not sure, Pastor, would you please pray for me? Would you lift your hand with mine tonight? I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Father, I pray tonight for anyone in this room that may not know you as Lord and Savior. May they be obedient to the speaking of your voice. Help them to respond during this gospel invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand to your feet this evening?